The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm joined in the studio by Irish Independent technology correspondent Adrian Weckler. Adrian, thanks for coming in. We've loads of tech stuff to discuss, but there's a breaking news story that I know you want to tell us about. It's going to cost a little more to charge your EV.
Yeah, so the ESB, which runs the biggest network of public chargers, if you're out on the road and or if you live in a terraced house or you live in an apartment and you rely on public EV chargers, they've announced a price hike of up to 14% on their public chargers. In addition to which, they're going to charge you more if you want to pay by contactless on your phone or on your card. So the net result of that is, I did the sums, and it'll cost you, on a car like mine, an electric car like mine, it'll cost me around 12 euro for every 100 kilometres that I do in an electric car. Now, for diesel or petrol, it's probably about 10 euro or 11 euro. That's at the higher rate that they're charging. The normal pay-as-you-go rate, if you don't have one of these subscriptions or memberships where they charge you a few extra euro per month. And that's the second price hike.
It's costing you a bit more then.
It's costing, if you want to charge your electric car using a high-speed charger and you don't have, you know, the array of different memberships for different services, you just want to rock up like you would for petrol or diesel.
Yeah.
It now costs you more than petrol or diesel for the high-speed charger. And when I say high speed, I mean you'll get, say, half a car's charge in maybe 10 to 15 minutes. I don't mean 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more slower charges around the country, which are cheaper, which people will see. But that could take you an hour and a half.
Now, if you can charge at home, though, yep, the advantage is still there. If you're
huge
on a night rate and all of that.
It's much cheaper than petrol or diesel if you have a driveway and you can charge at home. It's probably a third of the cost or a quarter of the cost.
Okay, have they said why they're doing this?
Yeah, they did. They said that it's a continued increases in energy and operational costs. They're not the only one. Ionity is another EV charging chain. They raised their prices last week to a whopping 85 cents per kilowatt. I know that sounds like jargon. That would raise the cost per 100 kilometres to about 14 euro for 100 kilometres for my car.
Versus 12 for the ESB.
Versus 12 euro for the ESB versus around a tenner or 11 euro if I was paying petrol or diesel.
Okay, so there's a lot to think about there for somebody who is thinking about getting an EV and maybe doesn't have the ability to have the charger at home.
Yeah, now look, there are balancing arguments. There's a much bigger grant now, 8,500 euro. If you have a car, a petrol or diesel car that's over 13 years of age, Minister Dara Bryan says that he's also going to consider ways of charging your car if you live in a terraced house to allow you legally to trail a wire somehow across. Mm-hmm. It's illegal at the moment. So there are other balancing arguments there, but just on the public charging bit, it's now more expensive.
Okay, good to know. Now, WhatsApp has announced that users will be able to chat to someone using a username rather than a phone number in the coming months. Now, they say that some users are uncomfortable with their phone number being visible in a group chat, for example. But is this more about competition from the likes of Signal and those sorts of operators?
It could be. I would take them at their word on this one because there's so many WhatsApp group chats. The minute you walk into a new parents group, a club, an association, a school, even at work, I'd say the average Irish person conservatively has 10 to 15 WhatsApp groups, and that's a very conservative figure. And these are people who, they mightn't be close friends, they might just be associates. And the problem with WhatsApp groups at the moment is that every one of them shows your phone number.
Yes.
And there could be hundreds of people in these WhatsApp groups. So the idea here is that you will be able to use to substitute your username. So for me, that might be Adrian Weckler, I don't know, instead of my phone number. Now, you still have to have a phone number to get a WhatsApp account. You won't be able to just start an account using an email like you can for other social media or messaging sites. But WhatsApp thinks that this is a way to take the privacy pressure off people who don't want to divulge their phone numbers.
Well, I was reading about this morning. I mean, we know our messages are encrypted. So they can't see what you're saying. But they are selling ads based on who you're messaging and at what time.
The metadata. So it's a very tricky one for WhatsApp, which is owned by Meta, which is Facebook and Instagram, in Europe, i.e. in Ireland, regulated from Dublin, from Ireland, because they are not allowed they're not supposed to be allowed to use data from their competing services to serve ads on rival platforms. Now, what Meta does do, what WhatsApp does do, is they take a huge amount of information as to, you know, where you are. We call this metadata. A lot of small little signals. And they use this down the line to try and commercialize your experience on WhatsApp. They're not allowed to serve you ads on Facebook or Instagram.
Okay. So if I'm WhatsApping, let's say, a bike shop, they're not allowed then to serve me ads about bikes on Instagram?
No, they're not. It's quite a complicated area, and it leads into all sorts of conspiracy theories then about, you know, your phone listening to you. It's so complicated. The number of micro signals that you send from where you're messaging, what kind of phone you're messaging on. But they say that they can't get into your messages. It's encrypted, so it will never be on the content of your messages.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is changing. The username business is changing. Well, here's a listener saying, I have an EV. It's not economically worth it now to run it. Back to diesel for me. No.
Well, the thing about that is, I'd say, unless you're picking up a very cheap secondhand diesel car, in which case, if you do the numbers, it might be more economical. First of all, diesel cars are now really, really expensive. They're way more expensive than electric cars, like way more expensive. Mm-hmm. It used to be that you could get a new diesel car for a family car for 30 grand if you bought it new. Now it's, you know, 45 grand, 50 grand or more. So I wouldn't say that that's, you know, the right economic choice.
Okay, there. And another says, imagine how much it would be to charge your EV when we all have one. And I suppose that is a consideration as well. But maybe we'll have economies of scale, particularly when the network is built out in the way that it should
be. And then there are things like solar panels as well. Now, not everyone can have solar panels, but and not everyone has, like, you know, cheaper nighttime tariffs. But if you have, it comes back to this question of whether you have a driveway or not, whether you've somewhere domestically to charge it. If you do, it will always be cheaper to charge an EV than using petrol or diesel. I can confidently say that.
Yeah, I have a night tariff and it does my head in because I often want to put the washing machine on during the day.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, that's going to cost me a fortune because it's way higher to use electricity during the day when you're on the nighttime tariff. But you have to be on the nighttime tariff if you have an EV. Otherwise, it's mad money.
Yeah. Neighbours of mine in my estate who don't have solar panels, they buy batteries just so they charge it up during the night, just so they will have the cheaper electricity to then use during the day for things like putting on washes. So they'll buy like a large battery. They'll store it outside. They'll charge it up between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning. And then they'll use that electricity to do the wash during the day.
That's a good idea. Mm. Clever stuff. Now, we want to talk as well about the kill switch on phones. Mm-hmm. That's to render the phone useless after it's been stolen. Do we all have this on our phones already?
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm going to start with an iPhone because that is the simplest way of explaining it. But what I'm saying here broadly corresponds to Android phones like Samsungs and Pixels as well. So if you have an iPhone, you have, you know, the guts of what amounts to a kill switch. And that it comes in the form of stolen device protection. It's a feature in your settings. If you go into settings and then go into your Face ID and passcode, which is under settings, and then tap stolen device protection, you will see it there. You just tap that on and that requires a facial scan, a Face ID or a fingerprint on your phone to change key things like passwords or Apple ID or to switch off the Find My Location network function on your phone. So these, imagine you are standing on a road and a thief snatches your phone. What they're going to try to do very quickly is get into your phone, reset the settings, disable it and then try to ship it off. So
we should all have this thing switched on then, you're telling me, right?
You should absolutely have this thing switched on.
She says, checking to try and find it immediately. Yeah.
So, and it comes also with the advantage that even if they wipe the phone, the thief wipes the phone, there's a thing called the activation lock will kick in, whereby it will require your Apple ID and your facial scan to make the phone work again. And the reason is because every phone has a unique tag number. So even if the thief tries to reset the phone, it will demand the account details. So your face that was attached to the original phone before it was wiped. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to get this unique number, there's a really quick way of doing it. It's called an IMEI number. And the really quick way of doing it is on any phone, any type of phone, right now as you're listening to this, type star hashtag 06 hashtag. That's star hashtag 06 hashtag. And by the way, the star and the hashtag, they're the funny symbols at the bottom of your phone, of your dialer, either side of the zero symbol. If you type that, star hashtag 06 hashtag, a number will come up immediately on your screen. That's called the IMEI number. That is a unique number that cannot be erased from your phone.
Okay.
Even if you do nothing else today, take a note of that number, email it to yourself. That is a number you will need to tell the guards.
Well, I've switched my stolen device protection on. It was not switched on, so I'm very grateful for that. Now, in order to put that number in, do I put it in as though I'm making a phone call?
Yes, go right into your dialer as if you're making a phone call, and then dial star hashtag 06 hashtag.
Okay. Oh, there it is.
You get immediately,
it
you get
works.
An IMEI number and an EID number. Now, screenshot that, maybe email it to yourself for future reference. That is the number that the guards will ask you if your phone is ever stolen. So there's nothing. So they have a watch list of phones for stolen phones. There's about 6,000 stolen every year. So that's a really key bit of information that could benefit
you. Okay, nothing to help somebody who bought a new iPhone and then dropped it on the ground and smashed the face, the screen of it, because that's what I did last week.
No, well, okay. Well, no, that's maybe another, I probably have an answer for you, but no.
Well, I should have got a screen protector. And I do think that when you get the screen replaced, and I have loads of people saying I'm wrong here now, but I don't think it's ever the same after you replace the screen.
Yeah, actually, there's a thing called the right to repair where Apple has been forced by EU regulators to allow kind of third parties, shops you see in the street, to legally get in and replace the screen.
Uh-huh.
The price of an iPhone screen has come down by about, 70% in the last couple of years. So you should not be paying more than absolute maximum about €200, €250 for a new screen.
Such it used to a be a dose. I literally just bought that phone and then I did that to it. And now I'm going through that thing where I'm trying to avoid cutting my fingers.
Yeah, well, if you're buying a case, it doesn't have to be a big blocky case, just one with tiny little ridges above the sides so that it will bounce and it won't hit the screen.
Yeah, well, I'll remember that for the next time. Adrian, thank you very much for coming in to see us. That's Adrian Weckler from the Irish Independent.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.